This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. People in Nutok have been without power for almost 3 weeks, and families without personal generators have seen their freezers thaw out and a summer's worth of subsistence go to waste. KYUK's Greg Kim learned more about what's going on in Nutok. Here's part one of the story.
When the power went out in Nutok on August 23rd, many homes flipped on their personal generators. Sandra Ayuluk didn't have one strong enough to power her two freezers. After the outage continued past 1 week, 2 week, and into the third week, Sandra opened her freezers and discovered the worst.
My food in the freezers ruined.
Her husband, Jonah Ayuluk, knew all too well the list of food items that were supposed to last them through the winter.
Moose meat, salmon, filet, halibut, berries.
Many of Sandra and Jonah's friends and family, even if they had their own generators, couldn't help. One of the Ayuluk's neighbors, Carolyn George, says that's because it's nearing the end of the summer subsistence season.
I don't have any room in my freezer. It's heartbreaking. All that subsisting they did over the summer, all that hard work, just down the drain.
Carolyn says even for families who do have their own generators, it can cost $50 a day for fuel to keep them running. Nutok's electric power system is extremely fragile. The village's power company has two generators, a main and a backup. Tribal Administrator Andrew John says the main one was almost 30 years old when it broke down permanently a few years ago. And since then, Nutok has relied on the smaller backup generator, which just barely manages to power the whole village, and couldn't last forever.
We knew early on that it was just a matter of time. And unfortunately, that little backup generator finally gave up.
Nutok had a plan for that. The village ordered a backup for the backup, leaving it on the runway this past year. But when they needed it, they couldn't move it off the runway. That's because the village's Bobcat tractor broke down. Andrew says workers struggle to move the generator parts without the tractor.
And we're talking 800 pounds apiece, and there's two of them.
It's taken almost 3 weeks, but he says the workers were able to muscle those parts over to the powerhouse.
They went to the store and bought a can of mussels, took a big old bite, and said, let's go.
With the parts now in place, Andrew says the workers should hopefully finish installation by the end of this week. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kemp.
In part two of the story, we'll hear that although Nutok's backup generator will soon be fixed, many village residents believe the real problem is still not being addressed. And moving on to airport news, two villages in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta have received federal funding this year to improve them. Quinnahock and Kosiglik are part of 400 communities that received more than $1 billion from the Federal Aviation Administration to improve their airports. The native village of Quinnahock owns and operates its airport. Its maintenance problems have been documented for years, erosion being the biggest one. The Federal Aviation Administration has awarded the tribe more than $1 million to, quote, seal runway pavement and joints. Meanwhile, Kosiglik has received nearly $1.7 million to update a miscellaneous feasibility study, as well as restore its airport runway, lighting, and access road. And finally, Governor Mike Dunleavy will not mandate Alaskans receive a vaccine for the coronavirus if one becomes available, the state's health commissioner said Thursday. Department of Health and Social Services Commissioner Adam Crum described the governor's position during a virtual town hall meeting.
There will be no mandatory vaccination from the state side. This is going to be made available to individuals who want this.
Crum says that the state has a team that is working on a plan to allocate vaccines around the state if they are available.
There is no mandatory vaccine in the state of Alaska for influenza, and nor will there be for COVID. This is not something that the health team is recommending or the governor will allow.
State epidemiologist Dr. Joe McLaughlin says fewer than half of Alaskans receive a flu vaccine last year. He's aiming to raise that level to two-thirds this year. The state does require several vaccinations for students to attend schools. It allows exemptions for health and religious reasons. This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yukton coming up.